from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
Good morning. Continuing in my series of togetherness, things that we are to do together, I probably will do one more, maybe a second after this, but coming to the close of this, but we're told many different times the things that we are to do together and for each other. And Gary read a passage that on the surface doesn't really lend itself to that, you would think. We don't get drunk together, and we aren't debauched, you know, we don't do debaucherous things together. But the close of that in verse 21 is what I want to talk about. We are told to submit to one another, and we're to do it out of reverence for Christ. And so people, when they hear the word submit, get all defensive. I don't want to do that. It's a very bristling thought about submitting to someone else, and it usually provokes a reaction among people that in this light is not warranted. The scriptures are telling us that we have to submit to one another, and that could be something that people just are not too eager to do. Being submissive would be a sign of weakness or a sign of giving up, whatever the case may be, but the thought of yielding or submitting to another person is not something that most people would gladly and willingly, yes, I want to submit. I'm sure there are people that are that way, but for the most part, people like to be in control and not submitting. And so one of the problems that people have that I want to focus on this morning is people will say, well, why do I need to? Why do I need to do this? Why do I need to yield to someone else? And why can't we just do what I want to do or what I think is best for me? Why do I have to submit? And so let's look at a few reasons this morning about why that is important. But we can't understand the importance of submitting until we understand kind of the nature of God and why he is wanting us to do that. And so if we turn to Philippians chapter 2, this will give us a little bit of an idea about the nature of God in context of what we're discussing this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 reads, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So this is a description of Jesus. And we can tell from this passage that Jesus is also God. God is Jesus. And so when we're learning a lesson about the nature of Jesus, we're also learning about the nature of God. And so one thing we learn from this is that Jesus was not any lesser. He was not of less importance. He was not of less value. He did not have less power or anything else when it comes to God the Father. He was an equal, but he didn't consider that when he was here on earth. He didn't consider that as something that he should be using to his advantage when he was here among us. And so he didn't use it selfishly. And so he didn't say that he is God in every aspect, and so I'm going to do what's only good for me. That's not what he did. In that point in time, he humbled himself. He submitted himself. We're told that the very nature of a servant was the form upon which he took upon himself. He humbled himself. He subjected himself. And so he wasn't forced to submit. That's another key thing about submitting. If you're forcing someone to submit, you're breaking their will. You're breaking them down. Submission is something that has to be voluntary. Otherwise, it would not only violate the scriptures, it wouldn't fulfill the scriptures either. And so, and we see this voluntary submission in the example of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in this passage, says that we are then to have that same mindset. This is a mindset we need to have when we consider the relationships with other people that we may have in our lives. And we should not consider our power, our intellect, our strength, our importance. We can't keep that from allowing us to be submissive when the occasion is needed. And so we're not to use things to our advantage. We're look for ways to yield to others. And so you don't use these things for yourself, but willingly yield for the good of others. And so Jesus taught that this is what is meant if you are to be one of his disciples. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28 reads, "But Jesus called to them and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" He brought a whole new approach as far as how people should regard the different relationships in their lives. We're called to submit to one another no matter what position we're in. If we're a servant, we're to submit. If we're a master over so forth, we all can find ways in which we can submit to each other. We cannot put ourselves first because that's not what he did. The example that we're given does not show any time that Jesus put himself first. And so we have to look at what this might look like as we might apply it to our lives. And so what does submission look like in our daily dealings with each other? And so this is exactly what the Apostle Paul discusses in a number of passages. We're to submit to the government. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." We're commanded to submit ourselves to whatever form of government we may find ourselves living under. Rebellion, or just acting up in response to the government, has become a popular thing to do, but we can't let that impact us. We can't allow that to be found within us. A Christian is to submit to whatever governing authority they are under, especially when we may not like what the government is doing. That's not our call to make. There's nothing in scriptures that says we must only submit if the government is a righteous one, or if the government is making proper laws, or making laws with the Lord in mind. No, we're not given that. We would be subject to this if we were living under a totalitarian dictatorship. There are people down through history that have found themselves in those situations, and this command would have applied to them just as it does of us under our republic and the republic and capitalistic society we live into. But by submitting to the government, we're showing that we are submitting to the Lord. And to rebel against the government shows our lack of submission, and that lack of submission to God. And so we will yield to the will of the government. That was just one example. But I find that if we go back into Ephesians chapter 5, and kind of starting where Gary, we're going to end up back there, but with that in mind, with those verses that the verses in Ephesians 5 that Gary read for us, specifically verse 21, and we look at the rest of the book, Paul is teaching us what submission might look like in our lives. But just to kind of back into it, I'm literally going to do this in reverse order. And we're going to look beginning at the end of chapter 6, or at least in chapter 6, and start moving backwards. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9 reads, "Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." What Paul does in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9 is explain what submission looks like if you're a master, or basically in our society, if you're someone's boss. If we can look at it that way. If you're a boss in today's work environment, even though a boss generally has a position of authority over the people that are working under them, they are not to threaten, but they are to submit themselves to the true master, their true boss, who is the Father in heaven. And they are to do good and not do evil to those that work under them. They're to have that mindset of being properly treating people that are under you, not to take advantage of them. Don't use that power to an advantage like we talked about here just a few moments ago. But then going backwards a little bit further, verses 5 through 8, we're told about from the other perspective. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. And so in today's society, this would be like an employee situation. Those who have a boss, those who have someone who has authority over them in the work that they're doing, they are to obey them. You're to do the work with a sincere heart, not just because you're afraid the boss might catch you goofing off, or that you're worried, you know the boss is looking over your shoulder, so you're going to sit up a little straighter, type a little faster, whatever it is you may do in your work. We should be doing that because we know that while the boss may be not looking over our shoulder, we know that the Lord is. And so the work that we do and in the attitude that we have towards it is submitting to the Lord when we're doing that. Verse 8, Paul says that whether you are a slave or free, this is how you should do your work, how you should manage it, how you should go about it, knowing that what we will receive back from the Lord will work out in the end, basically. In the same way that we submit, we will receive back from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Fathers can show their submission to others within their family and in their family relationships by not provoking their children to anger. They will spend their time and efforts bringing up their children with discipline in their lives and with instruction from the Lord. And so I hope we can see how this truly would be submission, but because they're not doing their own will. You look in society, disciplining your children, and especially raising them under the instruction of the Lord is not the preferred method. So when you do that, you are submitting. You're saying that this is the way I'm going to be, and I'm not going to be raising them the way I want to, and so forth. They're not saying that I'm the father and I can run this house any way I want. No, the submission is being displayed because they're not putting their own best interest forward. They're putting the interest of the child at the forefront. They're training them and disciplining them the way that will raise a natural and a true fear of the Lord and respect of the Lord. And so this training and discipline will be carried out in a way in which the children aren't in fear of you, in the scared of like terror. Now, fear of respect should be there. But you shouldn't push them to the point where the children are going to rebel. They're not going to respond and be not provoked. And so we change how we raise our children to fit how the Lord says it should be. And that is a form of submission, even though the father, apparently, obviously, is the one with the power in that relationship. And then the first three verses of Ephesians 6 reads, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Children show their submission in this relationship by obeying and honoring their parents. Children, if they're raised right, if they are disciplined and the training is there, they will not do what they think is best for them, but they will listen and they will show respect back to the parent and will submit to that training and to that guidance and to that discipline that's being provided to them. They will do as they're told because they recognize that is the role that God has given them at that point in their life. But children absolutely have to be taught that. No child is going to automatically do this on their own. It's just not how children are. They do not naturally obey their parents. Maybe when they're two or three, but I've been around enough kids that, you know, two-year-olds and three-year-olds don't necessarily obey their parents naturally. So this is a concept that has to be nurtured as you're raising them, and it really needs to be something that is expected and demanded. And then as we're heading back closer, we're in Ephesians 5, 25 through 32 of Ephesians 5 reads, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." I read more than probably I have notes for, but I think we all can understand here that husbands show submission in the marriage relationship by respecting and treating their wives in a loving way, because we're told that's how Christ interacts with the church. Christ loved the church. He gave himself and sacrificed himself for the church. And so men should love their wives as their own bodies, nourishing, cherishing it. Just as the Lord loves the church, that's how husbands should respond to their wives. Like Christ, husbands should not put themselves first in that relationship, but being sacrificial if the need presents itself, doing, once again, I've said this term, doing what is best in the best interest of their wife, not taking advantage of whatever power differential they may be. Oftentimes, it's just a physical power difference, and so too many men in this world use that power for their own purposes. So they have to be able to submit, and that's by putting their best interest ahead behind those of their wife. But then in chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, we're told, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Now, wives hopefully are having the proper example set to them by their husband. Hopefully in their relationship, the husband is doing what he needs to be doing, putting her first. And by seeing that, she should be able to submit in that relationship because of how he's respecting her and treating her. Because Jesus is the head of the church, she has to recognize that the husband is the head of the wife, head of the family, and it's her responsibility not only to submit to her husband, but submitting to the Lord. So these are things that today's society definitely does not want to hear. But it is what we're commanded in both sides of the marriage relationship. And so as we're coming to a close, by this point, I hope that we're able to see that submission plays a part in so many different relationships we have in our life. Really, the only one that I don't see is mentioned I can think of is just friendship, you know, people that we're friends with. But I dare say there's ways we can apply this and be submissive to our friends, putting their interest in front of ours, as it may be. So regardless of whether we're married, whether or not we have children, whether or not we have jobs, there is a particular way we are to respond to each other. And that includes here, us this morning, about how we are to submit to each other. They should be done in a way that is respectful and not lording over someone or having any power that you may perceive you might have in a congregation that shouldn't be used in that way. We are to show our submission just as Jesus showed submission. And so the point of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 is we must submit to others. And so we all submit in different ways, but it should be done in the reverence for Christ, as we're commanded there by Paul. If we do that and consider that the submission of Christ to us, then we have to understand how far-reaching this command can be. And for us to submit to one another means that we are respectful to him. If Jesus, who is God in every way, equal in every way, and valuable in every way, submitted himself to the point of death, then we can understand the expectation as being his followers, being his disciples, that we should submit to others as well. People don't make us submit. It should be voluntary and from one's own desire. So we have to apply the submission to every aspect of our life and all areas of our life. Brother John will lead us in a closing prayer, and in just a few moments we will begin with our class.